Blog Talk Radio.
I thank it for me.
Yes, sir.
Ring bang dana da, dang dana da.
Tell me,
a revolution. Yeah. I'm on fight for revolution. Ring dang dana da, dang dana da, da. A revolution. Yeah. Rasta tight up that revolution.
People down from mountain, them a make big beach. But poor people, the food not reach. I'm enough to wonder how them really sleep. Them living in the pool while the poor are feel the heat. Red country, why it's red country, why in the ghetto part of town, you ain't nothing but a victim. We're just trapped in a political system. There ain't no one to say let alone. If you hit the big man a gunshot, them broke your bone with stone. Why? So a revolution, yeah. I'm on sight a revolution coming in a Babylon land, yeah. A revolution, yeah. A hot a revolution. Head of government, what is your aim? Where is the plan? Where is the future for the younger generation? If there's no light at the end of the tunnel, well, young your son, I go red like hell. For man, the peas are cooked, but the rice can't swell. For no more big teach. Time to come action, crime and the violence rampant in our nation. People say it's because of suffering, son. There's got to be a revolution, yeah. What a hot a revolution, wriggling in a Babylon land, yeah. A revolution, yeah. Guns, knives and cutlass revolution. Dang, da, da, dang, dang, da, da, dang. All you false leaders, I brand you as traitors. Nothing but whoremongers, idol worshippers, them assassins. Yo, you better come down off of your punk and try to picking poor people for a joyride. Cause all you teach is to divide and rule, and I use the people then with your political tool, just fool. Sure. Cause a revolution, yeah. The poor boy to steal the revolution. Ring dang da da ding, dang da da ding. A revolution, yeah. What a hot a revolution. Ding da dang da dang da dang da dang. Whoa. No matter how them a come out and a kidnap them teeth. Yet the poor man the food not reach. Tell them all to practice what they preach. Cause I don't want to see them all a paging preach. Whoa, cause a revolution, yeah. I'm on sight a revolution. Ring dang da da dang da da. A revolution.
Things that sustain you must be continuous. The Jewish people are integrated into the total society. You go to Brandeis, it is clear at Brandeis that you are going to a university that was found by Jews for the best interest of Jews, and that it will stay that way. And if you don't like it, let the door hit you. They don't change one iota to suit anybody. Now, if you want to go to the university the way it is, all well and good. But if you want to change it, you got trouble. Carolina Medical School, and they're not going to. These universities are still going to be Zionist universities. I have nothing against that. I can deal with that. But shouldn't we have one or several or all so-called black universities dedicated to black people the world over? How many black universities are teaching an African language? How many black universities have in-depth courses on what happened to Africa? And how many would dare mention our Holocaust that started before? And how many black professors would have enough nerve to say that the people who were trapped into the German Holocaust participated in every aspect of our Holocaust that's still going on, and they're participating in every aspect of it right now? Who will deal with our sentimental attachment to the Hebrew mystique and how this mystique came into being? During slavery, we wanted to attach ourselves to a people who escaped from something. So we believed the Exodus story more than they, and still do. We believe the Hebrews, the story of the Hebrew children in the fire furnace. We believe it more than they, right now. We cannot separate folklore and mythology from truth. Folklore is beautiful. Folklore is essential. Myth is essential to the ego of all people. But myth is not truth. Myth is based on folklore. I grew up believing and reciting the stories of High George the Conqueror. Because anytime we wanted somebody to do something to a white person and get away with it, you bring in High John the Conqueror. Slapped that man's face, kicked him, he was begging for mercy, ran out of the neighborhood. We didn't do it, High John did it. I'm saying that it is essential that people tell stories that make them feel good about themselves. All people tell stories to make them feel good about themselves, but you tell somebody else's story. You haven't told your story yet. But how did you get into the predicament that you're in today, where you are totally unprepared to handle a nation? Let's look at South Africa and the whole fight against apartheid. It's a good fight. I've been a part of it for 50 years of my life. What is missing in the fight? The main thing is missing is the fact that apartheid is not what the struggle in South Africa is mainly about. It's about European or white control over the mineral wealth of the world. They must control the platinum. They must control the precious metals. They must control the gold. They must control the diamonds, especially the industrial diamonds. They can eliminate apartheid tomorrow. Schools in the world, the Colorado Schools of Mines in the United States, not one African student, not one black student studying at the Colorado School of Mines. If you're going to take over South Africa, you got to know how to control the mines. You got to know control the metal. You got to know how to make people safe and going into mines. You got to know how to market the mines. You got to know how to guide the ships across the sea to deliver your goods and your property. South Africa is the 12th largest importer of food in the world. A lot of the peaches you buy in cans came from South Africa. A lot of the lobsters, South Africa, lobster tails. Now, if you're going to take over South Africa, you don't know how to handle the fields, then all you will have to do is to call them back to show you how to do it. How many people do you have who can fix an elevator? What I am talking about to tonight is how you lost the concept of controlling a nation. Until you get back the concept of nation formation and nation management, you're going to have difficulty with or without apartheid. I don't question apartheid is brutal. I'm fighting it just the same as everybody else, but I know that's not the whole picture. You have to prepare to control every single item in a nation that needs to hold that nation together. How many locksmiths do you got there? People have to be trained in every aspect of nation management, including sweeping of the street, sewage system, drainage system, water supply, all of this. This makes up a nation. Now, the black man I want you to look at again, because each one in his own way was preparing us for nation management, and had we looked at each one and accepted each one on the basis of his contribution and stopped arguing about who was fighting who, we would have been close to a time where we might have been ready for the 21st century. Let's look at Booker T. Washington, W.E.B. Du Bois, Marcus Garvey, and Elijah Muhammad. Why Elijah Muhammad? And you're not a Muslim? That's not even the issue. Elijah Muhammad, like most Muslims, was a disgruntled Baptist. If you ever went to see one of his speeches, if you ever saw Malcolm X at the mosque, and go to a Baptist church, you see the response back and forth, a typical Baptist response. They don't let the minister stand there and preach a whole good sermon for not letting him know that you're on the mark, brother. You are, you know, that's God's word. It goes back and forth. Yeah, brother. Yes, yeah, you. That's all right. Make it plain now. When you see the same thing happening among Muslims, they've got on a Muslim veneer, just a coat. But beneath it all, there's the same Baptist that they left. They're just angry with the religion of the oppressor. The religion that the oppressor adapted, but never practiced. Now when we go back now and look at Booker T. Washington, look at the school at Tuskegee, he was preparing black people to sustain themselves on a nation basis. You live in a brick house, own a brick yard. Learn how to manage a brick yard. You wear shoes made of leather, learn how to tan leather. Learn how to take leather straight from a cow, tan it and make it into a good shoe. Many students walked to Tuskegee, they were so poor. They walked across three states and got to Tuskegee, they're barefooted. And what did Booker T. Washington do? Started a shoe repair shop and later a shop people showing people how to design shoes. Most of the black orthopedic shoe makers in this country were trained at Tuskegee. I'm talking about the craft that you need in order to run a whole nation. And you got people here with PhDs that couldn't even design a crutch. People with PhDs, technicians, can't even make a coffin.
Man, the bingy man a chant chant. See the Naya man, the bingy man a chant chant. See the Rasta man, the bingy man a chant chant. Rasta man, the bingy man a chant chant. I and I am on the bingy man a chant chant. See the Rasta man, the bingy man a chant chant. We like
take a look, see how it's a bad. He say that the system no right.
Every day you find a couple dead body that get killed overnight, and the rich have it plenty. They enjoy their money while the poor in the ghetto, they have no penny. They work every day, low wage for their pay. The system never get better, it get worse every day. Still, I and I am on a chant chant. See the Rasta man, the bingy man a chant chant. See the Naya man, the bingy man a chant chant. I and I am on the bingy man a chant chant.
Too much truth, boy, they are wrong.
And you lie in tongue, implicating to the youth, say better days are gonna come. Then I keep about your life, family are your wife. But there's no speech, no language, where the voice is not heard. I
chant them down, chant them down.
I and I am on a chant chant. See the Rasta man, the bingy man, a chant chant. See the Naya man, the bingy man, a chant chant. I and I am on the Rasta man a chant chant.
Take a look, see how it's a bad. She said that the system no right.
Every day you find a couple dead body that get killed overnight, and the rich have it plenty. They enjoy their money while the poor in the ghetto, they have no penny. They work every day, no wage for their pay. The system never gets better, it gets worse every day. Lord, I and I am on a chant chant. See the Rasta man, the bingy man a chant chant. See the Naya man, the bingy man a chant chant. See the Rasta man, the bingy man a chant chant.
African Americans, or so-called Negro. One of the reasons that it is bad for us to continue to just refer to ourselves as so-called Negro, that's negative. When we say so-called Negro, that's pointing out what we aren't, but it isn't telling us what we are. We are African, and we happen to be in America. We're not American. We are people who formerly were Africans who were kidnapped and brought to America. Our forefathers weren't the Pilgrims. We didn't land on Plymouth Rock. The rock was landed on us. We were brought here against our will. We were not brought here to be made citizens. We were not brought here to enjoy the constitutional gifts that they speak so beautifully about today. And because we weren't brought here to be made citizens today, now that we've become awakened to some degree and we begin to ask for those things which they say are supposedly for Americans, they look upon us with hostility and unfriendliness. So our unwanted presence, the fact that we are unwanted, is becoming magnified in all of America's preachments today.
No, I've often said that thank God for slavery, because you know, had not, then the blacks who were here would have been stuck in Africa. And you see how bad Africa, everybody and mama trying to get out of Africa and come to America. Mm-hmm. And so God has a way of looking out for folks, and he made it possible by way of slavery to get black folks into this country. But 100% American. Proud of it. I thank God that he saw fit for me to get here. Never mind that, you know, we were sold. I mean, my ancestor way back, way yonder when, were sold by Arabs and blacks to white folks and got us here. The white man came and brought us to the greatest country in the world. The ride over was pretty tough. But, you know, it's like riding on a crowded airplane and when you're not in first class. It's a tough ride. But you're happy when you get to your destination. And so the ride was tough over here. The pain for freedom was tough, you know, because in life, if you want to gain something, you got to lose something. No pain, no gain. So it was a tough. The pain was tough, all for the sake of freedom. So I thank God that he got me here, and to show my appreciation to the blacks who suffered as a result of coming here, and the Arabs and blacks who sold us to the white man, and the white man for going there and getting us and bringing us here, I want to say thanks.
Welcome to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob, here, Blog Talk Radio. Oh, hey, I'm moving around there.
Brother, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, brother. Who's that man again, Peterson? Or is it Larry Elder? Larry Elder's another house nigga, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Larry. I ain't got none of Larry Elder's yet. I mean, because sometimes I'll be like, I cannot believe this fool. What is he? Ooh. But Jesse Lee Peterson, I got a few of him. I can't get them all in, but he's something else.
No doubt, brother, you know. And that's why we're in the condition we're in, brother. And, you know, you never come for the bliss man in the end of the Bible, did you? I've lost a lot of listeners off that.
Huh? I think I lost
and got new listeners off the back of that.
Oh, with that guy from Turtle Island?
Oh, that one, that was a sweet... Hey, listen, brother, I wish that broadcast could have carried on because we were just giving him a beating. He was just taking a beating. Oh, man. Oh, man, he got it's just that I don't know what happened. Blog Talk must have cut that, man.
Yeah.
You know what I think? When there's too many swear words, right, it might just cut out automatically.
Yeah, maybe, because I've seen it cut out a whole lot of times, but your boy was funny. And I wanted to go ahead, I was trying to edit this one clip from a few people who were talking, who were corrected some of the stuff that guy was saying. And one of the things he was saying, he said he was like Choctaw Indian or something like that.
Yeah, these people own slaves, Nick. AIDS own slaves.
They own slaves, yeah. You know, and that was the part of the agreement they had with the U.S. government, so the U.S. government don't mess with them, to go ahead and capture and bring back slaves. And then when slavery was over, the Choctaw Indians did not give up their slaves. So
yes,
this dude, it was essentially a slave. You know, that guy was a moron.
He's connecting himself with traitors, just like the Moors are connecting themselves with traitors. But it's okay.
Right.
If that's what you want to do. They can't even prove it. They're dumb. And I saw a picture of that nigger, and his name was Great Ape.
Yeah.
Right? And I saw a picture of him, and he's darker than me and you, brother. You know what I think, brother? I think he's got a white woman. I think that's
why. Well, he had his white buddy there with him. Remember that?
He had a white buddy, he said.
He said he had it. He was there sitting next to a white dude. Remember that?
Yeah, well, that's where he is. He's got white women. He's got a white agenda. Yeah. That's what it is.
Oh, that dude was funny, man.
There.
I was I was trying to hold back, man, but he was another amazing one. And here's another one. Remember your other buddy, Reese, who flew in on a spaceship and automatically landed in Panama?
Listen, man, I'm going to go to Reese. But I'm not. You see, what I'm gonna do with Reese now is I gathered now what he did. He wanted to get a good show. His show's dead and boring. You know, his show. He told me. He said that he got like 25,000 listeners. Cause listening to his first broadcast of the new year, and he gets like 25,000 for the whole of the year. 25,000. So I know that, boy, I've got that already, and I've only been doing 3 months. I've got, like, half of that already.
Oh,
and
man.
3 months.
Oh, man.
So I've seen it as though he can't be, his popular, is, and you know what? I listened to the broadcast the next day that he did, right, the show, and they said that was the best show he's done. But even the white guys, right, you see what this guy does here? He tries to rally the white guys around his theories. It's like he's trying to rally the white guys to come and do something to us. But you see what? The white guys, you know what gave me a joke, brother? Because I felt like we lost, but we never lost. Because even the white guys said that guy, what's his name? White Mike. He's delusional. They said that he's a comedian and he does it for shock value. He's an actor. The guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they said he's not serious. And it's like he really believed the shit that he was coming out with, and the other white guys was gonna come on, but they didn't want to come on because it got so heated. And they would have just got a beating. So it's like he knows that he was chatting shit. That's why I said with that broadcast. Because remember when you was having it out with them, I said you gotta be half ignorant, fact and ignorance, because they don't deserve. With White Mike, he uses a lot of racial semantics, so you can't deal with him. You know, and I know his kryptonite is he don't like to be called a devil. He goes soft like an egg. he hates that one. That's all you have to call the guy's a devil. You know, and I remember when I used to go on that broadcast and I used to debate with him, every last word, any time I finished, I'll call him a devil.
That's hilarious, man. That shit is funny as hell to me, because I like when you got him with the Inventors thing, man, that shut him up. He only concentrated on that one. And out of all the ones you read off, there was only one of them he had a problem with. And he wouldn't go ahead and address, you know, well, what about these others? Okay, we'll give you that one. But what about the rest of them? He didn't want to come back and deal with that, man.
He didn't want to deal with none of that. You know, he didn't want to deal with none of that. Because he don't know nothing. And like I said, he was just, you know, Reese, because we're going to have a broadcast tomorrow about the Stockholm Syndrome. Reese is just another, he's definitely got a bout of Stockholm Syndrome, you know. He's that woman who gets beaten every day by her boyfriend, and she says, well, he's that woman who says, well, they have their good days. What about when they have Christmas time? What about when they're at ball games and you support the same team as them? And they're happy then.
Well, see, it's also a thing, well, hey, if you don't beat me, he loves me.
And what is it that he said he's a conservative? What kind of shit is that, man? A black man being a conservative? My word.
Okay, listen. All right, check it out. You know, when I not one of these guys has answered this question. But I go ahead and I got the clip too, and I'm going to play that from Dr. Claude Anderson. He's asking, you know, at what point, you know, these guys call themselves conservatives, you know, coming from the root word conserve. So, what are they trying to conserve? At what point in history in America did they want to go back to slavery, exactly. Lynchings, civil rights, all that stuff, man? So these guys are morons, man. Here, let me play this real quick. You check it out. Hold on.
Go on, Bubba.
And so this morning, in the time that's been allotted to me, I want to talk to you, as I said, like Geronimo, but I want to be like the great European philosopher Diogenes, who said, who walked through life with a lantern in his hand, saying, I want to lighten the darkness because I'm in search of an honest man. But like Diogenes, I want to walk through this temple and through Black America with a new movement I'm trying to create. I want to find not necessarily an honest man. I want to find some Black people and some white people that understand the problems in America. I want to find somebody that understands in America that, contrary to popular myth, Black folk are not progressing in America. Black people are going backwards. In comparative proportional terms, Black people in America, where you were in 1850 in this country, you have not progressed. You're still in your same dilemma, contrary to anybody tells you. And you see, I want to find, like the Diogenes, I want to find a Black person that understands that Black folk are not progressing. But more importantly, I want to find somebody, Black or white, that don't mind being Black and want to talk about the racial problem in this society. I can't even find that with my lantern in life. We got 3 or 4 major Black organizations in America. 3. The Urban League, the NAACP, the Rainbow Coalition, and one other one. I can't even get them to focus on the issue of Black folk. One wants to take care of cultural diversity. One wants to be talking about multiculturalism. One wants to talk about minority issues. The other wants to talk about oppressed people. And I asked them across the country, why don't somebody talk about Black folk and the problems of Black people? And so I'm looking, like Diogenes, for a person that understands the history of this country, because I want to understand the problem in America. And the problem is not what you all have been taught. The problem is not poverty. It is not unemployment. It is not unwed teenage parents. It is not food stamps. It is not public housing. It is not drug abuse. Black people only got 2 problems in America. The first problem is that you've been systematically locked into the lowest level of a real-life monopoly game. That's your major problem. And that's what Dr. Price directly and indirectly is telling you about every Sunday morning. You have been locked into a no-win situation. That means that all the wealth and power in this country has been skewed over 400 years systematically into the hands of the majority white society. Black people don't own a significant amount of anything to be able to control their lives. Whites in America right now control almost 100% of all the income, the wealth, the power, the resources, the businesses, the privileges, and all levels of government. You cannot compete. And I'm tired of hearing people telling Black folk, why don't you compete? Compete with what? What are you going to compete with? They keep saying, well, Black folk can run fast and jump higher. That won't make it. It won't make it. And let me tell you what monopoly is. Monopoly means that all the wealth and power has been skewed based on skin color, going white, yellow, brown, black. And if you've never played the game of Monopoly, let me show you how it's played. I play it every year at my family. It means that everybody, when you sit down, you're given a certain amount of money and wealth. Black people never got their 40 acres and a mule. Now we're playing this game of Monopoly, and let's pretend for a second in this auditorium that whites got $1,000 to play the game of Monopoly. Asians got $500, Hispanics got $300, Indians got $100, and Blacks got $50 to play the game of Monopoly. Now, never having gotten your 40 acres of mule, you don't own any land. You don't own any land. And if you don't have the money, you can't put any houses and hotels on the land if you got lucky and had some. Now, when you roll the dice in our hypothetical game of Monopoly, and you roll the dice and your number comes up on the wrong piece of property, what happens to you? You must either go bankrupt or go to jail. And that's the Monopoly game that Black folk are locked into. And when that happens to you in life, when you only got 2 alternatives in life to either go bankrupt or go to jail, that is called an underclass. And Black people in America are systematically being forced into a permanent underclass. We will be a permanent underclass by the year 2013. And you got about a 2.5-year window left. If we don't do some very specific things and started to come up with some very cogent strategies, comprehensive strategies of doing some things to focus on that number one problem of redistributing the wealth and power back into the hands of black folk, you can hang it up. Don't worry anymore about retiring after the next 2 or 3 years. Don't worry anymore about going to college. It ain't going to work. The doors are going to slam shut on black folk. And what I'm telling you right now is we're going to have to get it together fast. And to do it, you must first understand what I'm going to be telling you this morning. And my speech is going to be divided into three parts. I'm first going to tell you about the problems of black America realistically. As Cochise and Geronimo said, I'm going to give you the truth about the current state of black America, point one. Two, I'm going to analyze it for you. And three, I'm going to give you the solutions that we can do together to come out of it. Okay? Now, we got a very serious problem in that monopoly game. We're going to have a converging forces, social forces coming across this country. About 8 major forces are going to push us into that understructure and that underclass position. And let me talk about 3 or 4 of them right quick. First thing, across this country, you're going to have an increasing amount of conservatism. Now, I want you all to understand up front what conservatism means. So I don't care whoever uses that word, you know what it means. Conservatism is a new code word for anti-blackism. Okay? Except now, a conservative can stand right in your face and call you, tell you, and confess that he's a conservative, which means he is a racist and not tell you he's a racist. Racism right now, we got racism all over America, and I can't find one racist. And what I'm telling you right now, before my book even hit the market, I'd already predicted in my book that you're going to have a cutback in welfare. I predicted in my book they're going to catch people like in Texaco. And they just caught Avis discriminating against blacks in North Carolina and South Carolina. And they just caught Circuit City, Sam's, Walmart. I knew they were going to try to cut out single mammoth districts. I knew they were going to go after affirmative action. I knew there were going to be riots all over this country that are coming. I talked about this a long time ago in the book because that's what conservatism means. Conservatism comes from the root word to conserve. To conserve means to hold on to what you've got, or those who ain't got, as my mother said, a third grade deaf education, you ain't going to get. That's what conservatism means. And it means nothing else. It means maintain the status quo. It means use every device that you have to give the pretense that what you see is normal. And right now there's a conservative move in this country going from the White House across this land to the Congress that says whatever exists all over this nation and in Los Angeles is normal. They want you to believe that it's normal to go out in Los Angeles and see all the drug abuse and all the crime, all the poverty, and all the suffering of black folks lying and sleeping on the streets, drugged out, doped out. They want you to believe that's normal. That's what conservatism means, maintain the status quo. It also means to reinstitute white authority, white values, so you hear them talk about family values and all those other kind of things, and also white superiority. So when people start talking about they want to go back and be a conservative, you ask them, what are you trying to conserve? When my people don't own anything and you own 100%, what have I got to conserve? When you hear blacks going around screaming about they're a black conservative, you ask them, what are you conserving? Tell me one point in history that you found something that you want to conserve. Don't let people run that game on you about being a conservative. You tell them, say, fine, you want to tell me what are you conserving? And when my people never had anything, why would they want to be a conservative? So the biggest problem we're going to have is conservatism when it goes across this nation. And we as black folk got to understand. Now, it's not all whites that are conservatives. There is an element that's got everything that want to make there. It's the greed over need. They want to hold on to everything. And we're going to have a massive flow. Everybody's going to be talking about conservatism. You're going to see people politically switching, talking about they're moving to the far right. And what we have to do is understand that, and that's going to create major problems in this country. One, not only will you see an increasing amount of negative hostility towards black folk, every piece of research in the country tells us that, even from the Jewish organizations, that you're going to see more anti-blackness now and in the future than you've ever seen in the last 60 years since you left the civil rights movement. Two, you're going to see, we see organizations all over the country now, paramilitary groups, Aryan groups, Vipers, Free Man, Skinhead, Baldhead, all kind of groups that are organizing and optimistically expecting and anticipating a major clash in this country between blacks and whites. We've had 28 states in the United States now to pass concealed weapons laws. That's specifically so some of the white contingency groups can carry weapons and arms at all times. That's why you have such a major thrust in the National Rifle Association. That's why they're controlling most of your politicians. That's why you have such a major anti-governmental effort in this country. You hear people say, we want to go back to states' rights. We're anti-government. We want to get rid of the federal government. It's not that they're against government. They know that in history, the only people who've ever saved black folk has been the government, twice, the federal government. And if you eliminate the federal government by downsizing the government, black folk no longer have an ally. And if a clash occurs, you got nobody to come to the rescue a third time to help you. You see, you were pulled out of slavery by the federal government. You were pulled out of Jim Crowism by the federal government. There are contingencies in the country that says the next time there won't be a federal government to pull blacks out. And you hear them talk about their anti-government. That's what they're talking about. They're not against government. And later on, you hear me tell about why they're not against government, because you see, primary wealth in this country, the primary responsibility of government is to move wealth and to move power. And that's how the dominant society got its wealth and its power, by using government. But now they want to make sure black folk don't have access to it. That's why they're anti-affirmative action, but I'll get into all that a little later.
Why so many are youth recycling in and out of prisons? And I thought that racial tax was part of our nation's history, not our present. Well, here are a few of the facts that I uncovered in the course of my research that were part of my awakening. More African Americans are under correctional control today, in prison or jail, on probation or parole, than were enslaved in 1850, a decade before the Civil War began. In 2004, more black men were disenfranchised than in 1870, the year the 15th Amendment was ratified, prohibiting laws that explicitly deny the right to vote on the basis of race. Of course, during the Jim Crow era, literacy tests and poll taxes kept black folks from the polls. Today, felon disenfranchisement laws do the job even better. A black child born today has less of a chance of being raised by both parents than a black child born. This is due in large part to the mass incarceration of black men. Now, an article was just published in The Economist magazine, the leading magazine for economists in the United States and around the world, entitled How the Mass Incarceration of Black Men Harms Black Women. The article explained that the majority of black women in the U.S. are unmarried, including 70% of professional black women, largely due
to... Greetings. That clip cut off, but it was kind of interesting. Welcome back to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob. Brother, you still there?
I'm here, brother.
Hey, Brother Pianchi, your line is open.
Hey, what's going on, man?
How you doing,
Highly
brother?
Blessed, Brother Pianchi. You know, I like Claude Anderson, but he says some contradictory things there.
What's that?
Well, when he said that poverty and something else wasn't the reason, then he lists the things that cause poverty. So economics is the problem. And Jesse Lee Peterson, someone, that guy that was interviewing him, if he had any sense, he could have checked him right then and there when he said that... his ancestors was brought over here. It's making it sound as if they was brought from a condition of bad to good.
But brother, I can't remember a time being alive, right? Or I can't remember a time in history, apart from when blacks were segregated, right? Where blacks have been, you know, happy since coming to the shores of the Western world. I can't remember. This shit ain't built for us. It's not made for us. We would always be the bottom. Even if there was more jobs, more black people could go to university without having to pay for it, we would still be the bottom of the heap. Because we live in a caste system. Bottom line. You see what I'm trying
well,
to say?
What I'm
when there's no money, it always comes down to class. So if you have the richer blacks, it's going to come down to caste.
Yeah, well, you're going to have class anywhere you go. Everybody can't be rich, right?
I mean, when I mean caste, I mean color. I'm saying we've got a straight caste, worldwide caste system. This is what we deal with in this country, in the United States and America.
Yeah.
Straight caste system. If a woman goes to work in a bank, right, goes for an interview in a bank, and she... The woman with the white hair, the permed hair, would most likely to get the job over the woman with the afro and the natural. You see what I'm trying to say, Bubba?
Yeah, but I understand what you're saying, but that's not true. You know, you got blacks in the East Coast
in
Flushing. You got blacks in the East Coast in Flushing. What is it, Flushing, New York, New Jersey, some areas in New Jersey that actually out-earn whites.
Yeah.
So how do they do that?
Because
look at Prince George County, Maryland.
Yeah. But we're smarter than them. That's the thing.
My daughter lives in a community where the average is all black, where the average house is $450,000.
Yeah.
So we can't say that what they're not doing can't do this. It's not true,
brother. I'm saying to you, brother, that the only reason why. They will let a few blacks get their way because it's all neo.
Well, they don't let a few blacks. I'm gonna tell you something. Only reason I say what I say is because I've been there, and
yeah.
I've seen the things that were put in place and still can be put in place for others to get there too. Now, those who want to say that it can't be done, well, then they can take their position. It's just like those who. I say that you shouldn't be trying to take Jesus from people. If people want to debate that, then let's debate it. But as far as where they are, people that believe in Jesus or people that believe in Amun-Ra, they still got to put on pants, shoes, brush their teeth with toothbrushes, and eat. And those are the things I think that we should be concerned of. Foremost than anything else.
I'm not going to doubt that, brother, but you see, when people talk weak like that, what you're saying is weak, right? When people talk weak talk, because black folk don't want to actually do anything, a majority of us, we would latch on to that weak talk. You see what I'm trying to say? Rather than us doing for self. What are we scared of? Going alone, leaving this devil. Find going back to Africa or going somewhere where we don't have to deal with
this
beast.
Blacks in America is not going no place.
Well,
that's
I know
why,
this.
But that's why come you should look at it as a market. A market that we should control.
Well, we need to segregate ourselves. Like you said, we need to make our own. We need to segregate ourselves within the nation then.
But you already are segregated.
Are we segregated? We're not segregated.
Yes, you are. Look in Mississippi. You got 18 counties in Mississippi on the east and west side of the Mississippi River that has over 70% black population.
Yeah.
You can't get no more segregated than that.
Look, brother. What I mean is that when the kids go to school, everyone's allowed in. The curriculum's controlled by the devil. That's what I mean.
The colleges,
they're a farce. Because the black colleges cost more cost more money to attend the black colleges than it does the devil's colleges.
Yeah, well, I can't argue with you on that. But you know the thing on the curriculum and that.
Why is that? Because black should
be trying to take your children out of them public schools unless there's some that are actually doing what you want them to do. But,
brother, the reason why that happens is because we're living in the devil's land. Nothing's not going to go right for us. Listen, The devil's using a whole load of art of war tactics to keep us down. Willie Lynch, you know, that's what they're using to keep us down. We're living under a caste system. If we weren't living under a caste system, well, the lighter you are, the more European you look, the further you go in the system. If you're thinking you're a homosexual, look, you know you could go far in society because they know you want to be European.
Yeah, but I know some people that look like Isaac Hayes and went further in the system. So yes, that's not true all the time now.
I know. Listen, it's the majority. That's what I'm... We can never say every. Because they let them house nigger rappers who have their trousers halfway up their leg make lots of money because it keeps us down.
Yeah, I've seen some women... I've seen some people get into the system and human resources and, heck, 8 out of 10 people that's hired... For these utility.
But in the United States, they have affirmative action for black folk. And they, well, it's like you don't know about the token black man.
Yeah.
The token.
And on a trade wise, they got the African Growth and Opportunity Act for black countries that black folks don't take advantage of.
What do you take of? It's like they said, oh, why don't black folk take advantage?
Cuba gave you free Castro. Castro said that black students could come to Havana and after 7 years they would be doctors. But blacks don't take advantage of that.
How do blacks know about those programs, Bianca? How do black people know about them? Who's letting them know?
Stray this now. Listen, brother Bianchi, in Cuba...
Castro came to Riverside. Hold it.
Let me ask you a question. Okay, hold on.
Castro came to Riverside Baptist Church, I think it's in New York, and made that announcement, and that's been going on for quite some time. Hey, we helped sponsor two sisters out of Milwaukee. One name is Joya, and I can't think of Joya's sister. Her sister dropped out because she got pregnant. But Joya, last summer, this year should be her last year. We have, here in St. Louis, we have had forums where we had people come in and talk about it.
But how do they let the public know? See, this is one of my problems. This is the issues I got with it. I mean, I hear about these things after the fact. I don't see a big group of people out in the street knocking on doors, handing out flyers, or nothing like that, because I know we can't get the stuff in the media. I mean, I don't see nobody doing nothing.
Everybody else who know about it is your Congress people, because they made your black Congress page person.
We already know that the Congress people, our congressional so-called leaders, have just never been on our side, really.
Well, they were on your side because they made it possible for students to be able to travel to Cuba and in scrutiny.
Brother. Now, we know that, this, like I said to you again, for black folks to get into those colleges, right, they have to be doing well in school, in their education, right? They're not teaching us right. So how are we going to be intelligent enough to go
to Cuba?
And again, to
get into the Cuban medical school, they have the requirements is not that difficult. And you have to have organic science, your scores have to be, you know, something minimal, and you have to have Spanish.
So, brother, brother, what I'm trying to say to you, they don't teach us right.
Who?
They don't. You see, we got to learn the language as well.
Since you want to argue, since you want to debate me like this, who don't teach us right?
The devil don't teach us right.
Well, have you looked at your school boards in your inner city lately? Those are black people that sit on those boards. Those black principals. Those black superintendents.
But they're house niggas.
And
they're controlled by the devil. The devil told them. Listen, you go on like those blacks who are sitting on.
In 1998 in Detroit, Michigan, they implemented an African-centered curriculum throughout the whole entire school district. You had Malcolm X Academy, which was one of them, which was outperforming schools in Goose Point and Van Arbor. You had Paul Robeson. You had Marcus Garvey. You got Betty Shabazz. You got Inseroma. Come on, those schools are doing excellent jobs there. It's black folks went against them. White folks didn't tell them to do this.
Brother, let me tell you something. I want to ask you something. Is Barack Obama in control of the United States of America?
I don't worry about whether it's Barack Obama or Ronald Reagan.
What makes you think, if someone don't treat you right, why are they going to teach you right, brother?
Well,
and at the end of the day, these guys are house niggas. They have to follow the devil's
cult. I don't blame white folks or anybody else for not treating black people right. We talking about competition.
I blame them for everything. Competition, this is why I said, this is why I said to you, remember when you came on my broadcast, this is why I said to you, you have Stockholm Syndrome, because you have empathy for the person that's beating you down, beating down your people. Maybe not you, because you don't see yourself as, you know, like that. Your people who look like you every day.
Well, what's your solution?
What's my solution? We need to separate from these people. Now, if people want to stay in the United States, separate.
Wait, what do you mean separate?
I mean, we need to have our own shops. And buy from ourselves. We need to listen. I think the black folks who are conscious in America, they should move to a state where they're allowed to have guns and build up from start.
Who do you consider as conscious? The people that's always talking about the blacks built the pyramids?
Well, anyone who says that they're poor, anyone who wants to leave, who's not happy with what's going on, living in the devil's system.
Yeah, but here's the point. There's nothing at all keeping anyone from getting a passport unless they got child support issues and leaving.
Of course there isn't. But then leave to what? When you ain't got no finance, you're going to go back to Africa and then get eaten up by flies.
You don't have to go to Africa. You can go to Jamaica. Heck, you can drive down to Baja, New Mexico.
Jamaica ain't no better, brother. The people will eat you out. That's where I'm from. You think that you can go to Jamaica and you ain't spending
no money?
Yeah,
but you're saying that they need to leave here. So you're saying Jamaicans need to leave Jamaica too.
No, I said if they're not going to leave, separate yourselves and go and live in an area where you're allowed to carry your gun and build up from scratch.
Well, I told you that blacks are the 35% of the population in Mississippi is African American. It's blacks.
Yes.
That's the largest concentration of blacks in a state in the United States. Jackson,
yes.
Mississippi is about 80% black.
Yes.
And there's other cities like that that's carrying these large populations of African Americans. So how much separate do you want to get?
I'm saying that you need to be separating in a sense that you need to get organized, make sure you know where you're growing your food.
Lithuania, Georgia, which is right outside of Atlanta, you got blacks that is telling realtors that I want to live here because it is all black. So you got those cases. Now, those who supposed to be conscious, then why come you not implementing your programs in these places where you are harping that blacks need to separate? It already exists.
But, brother, as you know, it all takes money. You need to do it as a collective and not have the same mind to a means to an end. You have to all have the same means to the end. So
Ray
what I'm
Hernando,
saying, you see that car?
Ray Hernando de Soto's book called The Mystery of Capital, and he tells you that the money is there. It's hidden capital.
Of course it's there. Of course it's there. But we like to spend our money on Jordans, $300 on Jordans. And material items.
I don't think the blacks in Lithuania is spending their money on Georgia. There's the opportunity for those who say that we need to be separate. I'm telling you, different locations, different communities, different municipalities, where blacks are already the majority population. So those who are saying that we need to have our own stuff, they need to go to these places and start organizing and putting these movements in place.
That's what they should be doing. But what you got to understand, right, brother, is that even in the conscious, or so-called people who are saying that they're conscious, they got knowledge of self, these Egyptian builders, they're all a bunch of hustlers only looking out for number one, which is themselves. That's the
problem. There's too many house niggas about the place.
Yeah,
you just want to make a quick buck.
Yeah, but see, that's the one that you told me. I asked you who's supposed to do it, and you told me the conscious one. So is there somebody else?
Well, you guys, people like you, people like Chef Rock, if you can get together at least 150 of you together, you lot could make your own community, in effect. Live on the same street. You can start off by living on the same streets.
Well,
that's how the Asians did it in the UK. They started off by living in the same street.
You know what I'm saying?
Having their business. No.
I'm going to tell you something, Supreme. There's some Negroes I don't want to live around.
Fair enough. And I can understand that.
It's some I don't want to live around. But, you know, I don't like to talk about what I do. And I don't like to talk about the things that I've been able to accomplish because, it's not something that everybody is privileged to. What I'm saying this is that there's ideal situations that exist in the United States, especially when we talk about black markets, that's not being pursued. I think the way that they should be pursued. And it's going to take somebody who has the foresight. I mean, those who are supposed to be conscious have good organization skills. Those who talk about blacks built the pyramids and they were the first ones here in the United States, they do that type of research. But they should be able to take those research skills and put them together and organize business people who has the expertise, because they're already working for somebody else and running their country, and convince them and show them on black and white on how you can become profitable and serving a purpose at the same time.
But you see, Bubba, what I'm going to say again, it won't happen because, as I'm saying that, really and truly, unless you look, separate from the morons and the devil, the morons of our people and the devil, then, you know, because a lot of the family are saying they're not African, they don't want to leave, but they don't, then they shouldn't complain. They shouldn't say shit.
Well, Supreme, sounds to me like you looking for a paradise like heaven.
No, listen, brother. I'm my escape plan is just to go get enough money together, and I'm going to go back to Africa and live in the hills.
Well, let me tell you something. I'm gonna tell you this, and that right at this point in time. And I think that things are going to turn, but here in the United States is the best place for blacks in America to make a move.
Why do you say that, brother?
Because they got their blue passport, or the status that comes with their blue passport, the fact that they're United States citizens.
Yeah.
With United States citizens, you got access to things that you wouldn't have if you wasn't there. You have access to all the patents. You have social programs, networks that's designed to help give you the skills that you need in order to at least get your foot a foot up on whatever the adventure that you like to take on, especially when it comes to business. I mean, you got people that have failed business that's teaching people about business. Best teachers there are, the ones that fail business. One of my business teachers had failed 7 businesses. You couldn't find a better teacher.
It's true. It's like in boxing, the best ones are people who try to become pro and they've taken a lot of losses. I mean, the best trainers are people who never made it all the way in the world of fighting. So, yes, I agree with that.
Another point, you got people in Congress within the United States government that can champion some of your causes. And I'm not talking about social causes. I'm talking about economic causes. They would be more than happy to walk things through. You got a lot of advantages that we don't take advantage of. Because a lot of them don't know. And I will give them, I will say that.
So, and the reason, why do you think they don't tell people?
Because black folks...
Because they don't want us have it. They don't want us in that position.
They don't want us
in the monopoly.
If you buried money, you going to tell me and Chef Rob where you hid that money in the backyard?
Of course.
Well,
if I want the best, if I like, I want the best for you both.
We're talking about the distribution of wealth. We're talking about the acquiring wealth. Hell no, they're not gonna tell you. I don't blame them. I wouldn't tell you neither. And you know what? I don't tell no. I wouldn't tell them neither.
Stockholm syndrome, brother. Stockholm syndrome.
Well, if that's what it is, I'm happy to have. It's better than being constipated. A group of African Americans can go over into the Ashanti region in Ghana and start gold mining next week.
True.
You can go into Zambia and start copper mining next week. You can go into Namibia and start diamond mining next week. In Liberia, you're already a citizen. You're born with the right. The only person that can become a citizen of Liberia, according to their constitution, is Negroes.
Yeah. I think that's Article 4 of their constitution.
Now, those countries segregated, though, brother.
I don't care. It ain't no. Yeah, but see, here's the point. You have more ability to get footholds and make establishment in those segregated countries than you do here in the United States.
Of course, and that's because the devil made it that way.
No, I don't think it's because he made it that way. I think that's the way it is now. I mean, there's what is it that you can do? Start here in your neighborhood. These Arabs have made some inroads, and for instance, in gas marts. Them Arab things just ain't gonna, unless you just take a stick and run their ass out.
Of course not.
If you buy them out, then they gonna sell. They want at least 7 years worth of profit before they in the price that they would sell one of those establishments. Those gas marts was under $1 million. Under $1 million, you could have built a gas mart.
But brother, now, when you're selling those diamonds, say you found all those diamonds and stuff like that from Liberia, you would have to find a way to be able to bring that back to the United States, because no European organization, because only Europeans who have the need to buy those diamonds or those gold or the copper.
Harold Williams is black as Isaac.
Brother, wait.
Doing it.
Wait,
you want to learn how to do it? We can talk off the air, and I can tell you how to do it. But if you want to talk to a custom broker, I know one black custom broker in the country who's got advanced custom license. His first name is Billy. I can put you with him, where he can talk to you and tell you how to do it. You know what custom brokers do, don't you? They clear imports into the United States. In some cases, exports too. Very lucrative position.
But how much are we looking at that they're going to charge for everything? To bring back that diamond.
How much money
would it cost?
We can't take up Chef Rob's program talking about, because I know he want to get back to his favorite character, Jesse Lee Peterson, and play.
Yeah, well, but you make it seem easy, and I'm saying that if someone, this is what I'm trying to say. We don't care about, you see, you never get peace anywhere you go around the world.
Supreme, I have no reason to lie to you. I never met you. You never have dated my wife, so I have no reason to lie to you ever. Huh? Why you make it so hard? Huh? Every time I put it in your hand, you want to throw it back to me.
All right, but I'll let you go, Brother Pianki, because I know that you can't, you know. You.
I have no reason to lie to you.
I know, and you're a straight capitalist, and you're, you know, you need to diagnose that
that, what you call it, the Stockholm Syndrome that you're going through.
Well, Ursa Maud, Rod Septep, and Rod Ramesh Mariamman was a capitalist, too.
Oh, well, the Egyptians were wicked.
The
as
great Pianki was the Kushites was a capitalist. Pianki, Taharqa,
yes,
all of them were capitalists.
Of course, they're all wicked.
They had to have money in order for them armies to do what they did.
Of course. Well,
there was no welfare back then.
Well, I'll say that the Egyptians had the people so under, because that was, we're living in the modern day Egypt right now. They had the people so brainwashed, so conditioned, that they built them pyramids and they never had the need for jails. So that they were the ultimate Babylon. This ain't nothing.
The Egyptians, the people that worked on pyramids got paid. They didn't work for nothing.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that those people, they had a government like we have over here, yes. But what I'm saying is that they had the people so brainwashed. These Egyptians buried themselves in their treasures. Are you trying to say they ain't a greedy bastard?
Well, people do that today too. Look at them. How much you pay for a casket?
Huh? Well, that's the relatives. They don't send them to the
No one sends their
relatives to with their treasure. Only some.
Well, no. What they have done, they have came up with a method, whereas the money, the cost of burying is foregone on to the next person and the next person and the next person rather than the person. And in some cases, the person that's dying makes those arrangements for themselves.
Mm. I mean, you go with that guys like, you got people like King Tut. You go up in his tomb, the man's buried in jewelry, man.
Well,
this guy's greedy.
But Supreme, that's the way they wanted it. Don't they have a right to do what they wanted to do? Huh?
I'm just saying it's greed. That's the reason why Egypt could fall.
But that's not the way they looked at it. You have been taught that that's greed. And people that don't have it always look at those who do and say they're greedy. But when you have that shoe on your foot, you don't take that position.
Well, you see, brother, this is the thing. Now, you could get me with that if I wanted, I was lusting for things of this world. I don't care for anything on this planet.
But
if this world ended tomorrow, which it should.
But they do. Right? Every time they have a lecture, the lecturer passes the basket around. Right?
Yes, go on.
Well, he don't do it for nothing. Look at Dr. Ben. Where is he at?
He's in hospital.
Right. He shouldn't be in a hospital. George Jackson. They had Chancellor William, they had to pass the hat around for him to be buried. The thing is that black folks don't want to pay for their own freedom. They depend too much on everybody else, even the conscious ones.
Mm-hmm.
Heck, even back during the day of Hubert Harrison, he used to have those sermons on the corner on step ladders. He had to pay people to listen to him. Negroes.
Mm.
You working with a defective people, man. And you're trying to take up on them for them.
No, of course, but I'm dealing with right and wrong.
They one got Stockholm Syndrome, whatever it is.
Of course, a lot of us have Stockholm Syndrome as well as you. You've got
they're scared.
Time,
no, what the problem is, they're afraid. They are scared. They are feared.
I listen, if someone putting drugs on the streets and then look, these devils put drugs on our streets, then lock up our brothers and sisters and our mothers, our sons and daughters.
They've done the same thing to China. They've done the same thing to the French. Come on, man. They've done the same thing. Well, let me tell you something. It's one thing you don't want to be in the United States, and that's poor. Do not be poor in America. Now, that right there should be a rallying cry. That right there should be a slogan. That right there should be a verse before you eat. That right there should be our motto. Do not be poor. Now, what does you have to do not to be poor? let's start work for not being poor.
Brother Chef, do you agree with anything that Brother Pianki's bringing forth tonight?
Yeah, you're private all the time.
The only thing I agree with is not to be poor in America, but you got to understand, every time someone makes money, 2-5 people can't eat. That's just the way of things. That's what happens in a capitalist system, a capitalist society, or anything ism is not good for
black.
Yeah,
but why do we always have to be 4-5 that don't eat?
Yeah, but what I'm trying to say to you, brother, we live in a caste system. You see what I'm trying to say? This is the system that we live in. It's in a caste system, a worldwide caste system.
But you do not have to be on the bottom of the caste.
How? We will never get. So we're trying to say. We'll never.
So you mean to tell me that immigrants can come here?
But understand, Pianki, right? It's all nations, all peoples are subconsciously playing the caste system subconsciously. They're all playing the same card. Doesn't matter where you go in this world, whether it be a democratic system, a socialist system, a communist system. And let me tell you something, in Cuba, blacks live like shit. Blacks are still bottom of the heap within that communist system in Cuba.
You know, one of the reasons why come blacks around the world, because blacks don't have no central place that's strong. Now, knowing what one of the symptoms is, then we need to come up with a solution in order to solve that.
And I think one of those main things is the Woody Lynch syndrome.
No, I said solutions to solve the problem that we don't have a central, strong country.
Brother, that's why I said if we can deal with our psychological, our mental disorders, then we won't offend each other. Then we would more want to work with each other.
Well, the best way to do that is set an example that people can look at with their own eyes.
Well, of course. I mean, Brother Pianki.
That's the third time you said this, so that's at least three things. Wait a minute. That's the third time you say it, of course. That means that there's three things that you agree with me on.
I was going to say this, Brother Pianki.
Hold on. Let me take a quick break.
Oh, my girl, you tell me so you have something to tell me. No, you see me right now, please tell me. You can't deny my love. You can't deny my love. Sexy Italia, come sing for me.
Moment of honesty. Someone's gotta say to me tonight. Is it gonna be?
Make sure.
I'm gonna sit right here and tell you what comes to me.
Welcome back to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob. Yeah, everybody's line's open. Yeah, you know, I'm just really enjoying what you guys are talking about, and I'm formulating. I have an opinion, but I don't really want to spit it out there, and I'm a little bit exhausted from working yesterday, so I'm not real sharp right now. So, but I was enjoying what you guys were talking about, and it was interesting, man. But Bianchi, some of the things that you were saying though. The information is there, I agree. But that's where it just stops. The information is just there. It's like, okay, for us, the information is not put on the board where we can see it. It's like covered up. And then,
you know why come it's not out there on the board?
Why?
Because you got organizations and individuals that profit off of your suffering.
Yeah, I always say that, man. I know it's people out here profit off our pain. And we don't
punish them for it.
Yeah, don't hold
that's
them accountable.
That's the problem.
Don't hold them accountable. I see that. Really
no, trying
to hold out
these guys. You have to hurt them.
But I think it has to be done in such a way. You need to organize first. So because you keep them coming at them the way what a lot of us doing. It just looks unorganized.
Well, I keep saying the people that has tremendous organized skills, the people who don't research and say that we Moors, those who say we Hebrew Israelites, say that blacks built the pyramids.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus was black. Them people got good organization skills. They're the ones that's conscious. Instead of them trying to convince black folks into something that they just don't want to believe, then they need to start organizing in order to, you know, I had people working for me. I can give them a book and tell them to read. They would read it.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't read it if they wasn't working for me.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, I see it like, hey, look, hey, you feed me, so hey, why not, let me go ahead and do what's going on, see what's happening. And besides, I think they trusted you anyway.
And see, here's another thing. We get ourselves into these ruts. Well, you don't move. I hear people complaining because Afrikaan is in Africa. Well, hell, if you was a business person, would not you want your own government military just to protect your interests, which is Americans' interests?
But I agree with that. But here's the thing. When you look at the still, even when you're going into business, you got to go ahead and research the history of some of that, right? So,
no, you go into business doing what you know what to do best. If you've been working for somebody for 40 years.
But there's still some research and some history involved in it, right?
Well, the majority of it is already taken care of based on your experience.
And the best way to go ahead and go further and make a buck is go ahead and look at the whatever product or service you're trying to sell, right?
Well, yeah. See, but the thing is, people have to get out of that. It's not for everybody because...
Hold on. Listen to what I'm saying. What I'm saying is when you research a product or a service, that will make you not that much better. So, like let's say I'm going to build cars. I'm going to go ahead and look at whoever else messed up. But see, along the way, you're going to see how some of them messed up. Some of them made faulty cars, and some of them did stuff by going ahead and trying to cut corners and stuff. And so they did a lot of stuff behind a lot of illegal stuff. Then others were spying on others. So what I'm saying is, even though AFRICOM is AFRICOM is there in Africa, we don't know what their underlying motive is.
Well, the reason that they you would have a military basis in parts of the world is to protect American interests. What's American interest?
Okay.
It would be Chef Rob and Supreme mining operations. That's your interest. You got to take things that you manufacture and produce, you have to put on, like John Henry Clark said, you got to have ships. When those ships travel from that continent to this continent, they're on the high seas, they have to be protected. That's why countries have blue seas navies in order to protect the commerce of that country, of that nation.
Right. Okay, but what I'm saying is this. it's been shown that every time the U.S. is went in, it's supposed to be doing something good. It's all that other that dirt we find out they've done later on. Go ahead, open the, pave the way for businesses to go ahead and persuading people by cutting hands off and going ahead and doing assassinations. The U.S. been doing that for a long time now, haven't they?
Well, yeah, but when blacks have always put it upon themselves to be the great sanitizers of mankind. Well, then let's sanitize something whereas you can benefit from it. Partner with indigenous people, native people of these lands, of these countries. Business, that's the best way. That's the only way you're going to do it in some of them anyway. You can't go in there by yourself. You have to partner with somebody who lives there and go ahead and do what it is that we have to do. Our biggest menace, I think, in African countries and in black countries is them damn French. Them former Francophone countries, I think, is a menace to the striving forward and the development of African countries. And I ain't saying you need, I didn't tell nobody they need to move there. I said these are business opportunities. Business opportunities where you have a heads up over just about anybody else if you play it right.
Oh, so wait. Those business opportunities, can you help the people of Africa with that?
That's why I say you have to partner with an indigenous person. You're not going to have 100% ownership or operation or anything. You're going to have most 50% you and 50% them.
You see what you did here. You answered what I was saying. See these same organizations that you said that get paid a lot of money for black folk being miseducated and being degraded. These same companies that you just mentioned are the ones that actually have control over this planet. McDonald's
what company is that? I have mentioned
McDonald's has control over this planet. McDonald's are the second biggest landowners on this planet. McDonald's ain't a food chain. They're actually real estate. That's what McDonald's deals with.
Yeah, but Supreme. I talked to a brother from Togo today. I don't know how many acres of land that he has. And it's nothing going on it. Nothing whatsoever.
Because you need money to build on the land. You can have all the land you want. If you ain't
the
got
money,
no money.
It's the money. If you come up with a plan, the money will come.
Even in those poor countries where their currency is being
devalued. No, there's nothing wrong with the currency. If you come up with a plan, if you got a plan and people, you can sell that plan in the case where you need help, the money will come.
Okay then. Now, there's a guy called Palat in the United States who's saying that you can buy land for $20.
Who?
There's a guy called Brother Palat. You heard of him?
Buy land for Jeff $20. Worth.
The one who had the debate with Seti about is the white man the devil.
Man, I ain't.
Well, he buys land for $20 in the United States.
Yeah.
Right? I'm saying that. What do you do with 5 acres of land? What do you do with that if you have no capital to invest on in the United States?
He bought 5 acres of land for $20 in the United States?
Nah. Say you have 5 acres of land. That's a better question, right? In the United States. You ain't got no food on it. But you ain't got no money. You got 5 acres of land. What do you do with it?
Well, you have black farmers that have land, and I told Chef Rod about this.
You need money again, though. A good amount of money to build on that land. If you're going to build a house on some land, you better. The tools cost money for the resources. I mean, Africa isn't just, I've got land in Africa and I can cut down some trees and build a house out of wood.
Well, you know, some of these ideas ain't for people who don't have no money.
Exactly.
All right. But there's people who do have money that's not taking advantage of these opportunities. Well, you know, I can tell some stories on here, but I really don't like to. But, I wouldn't be saying this if I didn't know that it would work. Hey, I have a friend of mine. You know, some years ago, Supreme, I think it was back in 2002 or 2003, me and a friend was in Ghana, and he wanted some beachfront property. Well, anyway, he ended up with 16 acres of beachfront property, I think, for $40,000. The cost of a lot, 10,000 square foot, plus a two-bedroom chalet to have built, we done it for about $40,000. Okay. He brought electric, he had the electricity in, put the poles in, had the wire strung, put this transformer. That took, you know, some maneuvering. We had pressurized water brought in off the main road. They was running water, new water lines up toward Takoradi. Now, one of the council persons, what the equivalent to a council person, seen what it was that he was trying to do and made way that that water was brought in. So now the land has electricity and it has pressurized water. And you got African Americans that's building homes there. And the brother is conscious because one brother built the house and he got it built, tried to move in with his white girlfriend. And he said, nope, you ain't moving in there. So,
he's got a white girlfriend's conscious, yeah? You're yeah. sleeping with the enemy. How can you be have any right foot?
Well, that's the way, that's the way, that's they land, they bought it, they run it the way they want to. The
yes.
the chiefs there in the area is working along with them. They happy with them. If he say that certain things don't go down, it don't go down. I respect him for that. I wouldn't couldn't move there because my wife is not from that area. She's from a different part of the country.
Yeah.
So you know, these things are going on.
From where's your wife from, my brother?
Well,
Ghana.
She's from a different part of the country. But what I'm saying is that you do have people that's doing these things, and there just need to be more. And opportunities exist, man. I mean, it's just like going into like a child when they go into a toy store. You know, and every time they look around, there's something that they want to touch or something they want to jump on. Or, you know, or wallow with. You just go playing eight.
I'm going to hold back on you, brother. I'm just going to hold back on you. But, you know, this is what I was doing. What I was saying to you earlier, because I'm not going to kill you tonight. But but what I'm going to say is that I said earlier on that we ain't going to have no peace on this planet until the people that look like us are in a better position. You see what I'm trying to say? Than what they are. You know, you can't really judge our people by how they act, because we're going through scarcity. There's not enough for us. You know, we haven't got enough money. We haven't got enough. You know, we're not
Black,
doing our own thing.
Black, let me tell you something.
Hey Pop, let me ask you a question though. What would be the first thing you think we should jump on to go ahead and get that money? Because, you know, you mentioned
no, the money is there. But let me tell you something.
We're going to still have to work for the devil.
No,
right?
Let me tell you. The
okay.
United States,
first,
Western
country. If you work for the devil, then what do you do then? What comes
no,
up next?
I'm saying we should, if we get a collective who are prepared to put down, do what the churches do, right, put 10% of our wages aside.
Hold on. This is my question. So how do you get in the door of the church?
I'm saying we should do what the churches do. If you get 100 friends, like minds, together, and you all agree, put at least maybe $200, right, a month, yeah, in the pot. After you get, maybe by the end of every year, you set up a new business.
I like that, but still, you ain't telling me how I'm going to get them to the table so we can agree on this.
How are we going to get the people to the table? Well, that's a different thing. Because if I was a hustler, I could easily, because I would just have to lie. But, you know, I could only tell you the plan that I have there. Because I'm
yeah,
not
I know, but you got to get them to the table to go ahead and start begin to execute your plan.
Well, do you like living out? All I got to say to the family, to other Black folk who say they're so-called conscious, do you like living the way you're living? You know, I would say within 30 years, if you kept on with that plan, you would be able to build our own schools or have our own private home school, right, for the families who put their investment in, and we could teach from whatever building, we could purchase a building and teach from there. And then if other people want to join in, they would have to do what we did to get in. Give to at least 10% of their earnings to us while they're working. And then after a while, they could, you know, I would say after 20 years of that, we would be able to employ ourselves. When our kids get older, they would be able to work in the business. We wouldn't have to rely on the system at all.
You got to turn this into another religion.
We would have to build houses and live next to each other. Like, we can't get indoctrinated with the other people.
Hold on, brother. But you're gonna have to turn this into a religion, because you got to get into people's
minds.
It's not
gonna be a religion if you. I'm not.
I didn't say it's not. I said you have. You're gonna have to do that. This is to the table.
We would have to do what the Amish are doing. We would have to. The Amish don't fuck with no one. They live in natural, got farmland, still riding on horses and stuff like that. We would have to do what they do. They don't let any outsiders into their community.
They're partnering up with some people. I saw that when I was coming back, the vehicle I was in blew a tire. So we had to go ahead and go to one of these little local towns. And I seen a little Amish there. They were speaking and all this other stuff. But they're in the town mixed with other people. So some of them see it's a business. And a lot of that furniture and stuff is sold in other little stores in that town. And I noticed that. And a few other places I went to, I noticed that too. So they adjusted a little bit.
No. What it is, brother, is that...
The reason I said that is because it kind of makes Pianki point. We need to get out there and get involved. And some people, we may have to go ahead and do business with other people.
Yes, I understand what you're saying, brother. We would have to still do business with other people. But what I mean is that if you are... For example, if we had our own little community, we wouldn't even need the education that they're giving us. We could teach our children... And put them in, teach them skills that we need for our community, that we know we're going to need for our community in the future. We wouldn't need to give them the devil's education. We wouldn't even need it. And what you got to understand, what the Amish do, right? Let me tell you what the Amish do. When the kids hit 18, they let the kids go out into the world and they let them experience the world. If they like it, they can stay out there. And if they don't like, don't like it, they can come back. So they give them a chance. You know,
we can
send our kids off to college. If they want to live in the world, that's their business.
As long as you don't take government money, you can teach your children any way that you want to.
Exactly.
Now here's another point. But if there's any inkling that those children are being abused, because those children were born American citizens. And they have the protections of the U.S. Constitution, thus the authorities. That's when the problem comes in. But I don't think that would happen anyway. As long as you don't take government money, you can teach your children whatever you want them to be taught.
Exactly.
And here's something else. Them Amish saying all that. there's been a couple of cases where these guys just been like incest and rape. So, you know, they all that.
But they're eating good food. They're not eating the same shit as junk as we're eating. Their kids are exposed to the same stuff that we're exposed to. You understand? They're not exposed
to Amish
homosexuality
myself.
And all that foolishness. They're not exposed to that.
Some of the things that do I'm very interested in, Amish and Quakers.
What's the difference?
But you see, this is the thing, brother Chef. Our people ain't prepared to put down the Bible. They're not prepared to put down the Quran. They're not prepared to put down the technology, the big widescreen TV and stuff like that. They're not prepared to do that. They can't live without it, without watching a ball game.
Well, that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. If the content that's on the TV is something that you produce, let them watch it.
Yeah, but brother, if you're in Africa, you're not gonna be when you're on away on holiday. You get folk that who need to watch the ball game, you know, especially people from England. Football's the craze out here. So even if they go to the United States or go to the Caribbean, Jamaica, they have to find out the result. You know, they want to find some way of seeing that ball game. Mm-hmm. You know?
When I was in Ghana, all the commercials was black people, dark black people too, not your Halle Berry and your Beyonce. All the movies was black, even had Nigerian films. The talk shows, like your Meet the Press and so forth, black.
Mm.
I mean, that's all I've seen.
But the majority of that nation is black. But it's still a caste system.
Well, for something to move, for something to take a space, something that's in the space now has to leave. So it's always a caste system. That's a universal law. There's negative and positive. I mean, you do understand that the greatest laws that there are the laws of the universe. Laws of the universe is greater than man's law. It's greater than God's law. Because men created gods.
what I'm dealing with is right.
You got
and wrong.
Up, down, cold, hot, good, bad. You got those who have and those who don't. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Well, brother, I understand what you're saying, but what we...
Hello?
Yeah, I ain't heard that kind of noise in a long time. That sounds like Radio 1 or something.
Excuse me. Excuse me, but...
Like ham radio or something.
Let me play this real quick, man.
Our crisis today, the crisis in Somalia, the crisis in Africa, the crisis in the Caribbean islands, the crisis in the United States, that we have lost from our historical memory the time when we were in charge of the state and when we ruled the state, that the methodology taken out of our mind and not the mind of a foreigner, a faker, and a fool. When independence came to Africa, when the concept of independence came to the Caribbean islands, when we had our charade called the Civil Rights Movement, nobody was fighting to be totally independent of that former slave master. In some way, we were all crawling to get back on the plantation. We were fighting to consume his hamburger. We were fighting for the right to make our oppressor rich. So we did not understand the nature of liberation. And if you do not understand the nature of liberation, mentally, you are still a slave. Now, the slavery that we still must grapple with started in the 15th and the 16th century. Slavery started in the world when man emerged in the world and developed a fear and a weakness of other people and felt that they had to enslave another people to feel safe. That was one kind of slavery, but slavery based solely on race, on color. That's the slavery hatched from the European mind in the 15th and the 16th century. For there were periods when Europeans enslaved Europeans, Jews enslaved Jews. Now my focal point is that for most of your existence on this earth, you lived in independent states fashioned by your own mind. and that this great event has been removed from your historical memory. I want you to travel with me just a little while, or we go behind that slavery curtain and see what did you do when you were in charge of the state all by yourself. You didn't ask any foreigner to assist you in any way, and you ruled the state exceptionally well. In some places, you ruled so exceptionally well, you had no word for jail in your language because no one had ever gone to one. You create words to describe what happened. If no one ever gone to something called a jail, you don't need a word for one. If you never threw away children, you needed no word for orphanage. If the life between a man and a woman worked and functioned because of the support system coming from both sides of the family, you never heard of a thing called divorce. Well, no one ever got one. You got mixed up with someone else's thing. Now understand me, I have gone over again over cultural incubation. When you come out of a cultural womb, the chemistry of that womb shapes your personality. When someone puts you into another womb, it's like putting you into the stomach of someone who's not your mother. The chemistry of your personality is shaped another way. Therefore, you had no wife beaters in Africa. You had no teenage pregnancy in Africa. So your worst traits were picked up from your oppressor because you were living in a state that you did not fashion. And because the state that you fashioned was removed from your historical memory, when finally you develop semi-independence because you had forgotten how you ruled the state, you became the imitators of the people who put you in that second incubator where the chemistry of your personality changed to suit the slave master's chemistry and not the original chemistry of your birth.
Welcome back to the Seth Rob Show, and your host, Seth Rob. Everybody's mic is open. Feel free to comment on what you just heard.
Well, I hope Brother Pianchi was listening to that.
Yeah. I got practically every lecture that John Henry Clark ever made. Hundreds of VHS tapes on him, Dr. Clark, him, Dr. Ben, Ronoka Rashid. I got about 50 of his. Chancellor Williams, Chekana Diop, lectures at the Slave Theater in New York. I've done a whole curriculum on John Henry Clark on 10 of his tapes, VHS tape that is. I need to put them on digital.
But John Henry Clark is pretty simple with that clip. You know, you rule yourself before you can do it again. What got you so twisted and messed up? He was also talking about, I see it, like being a transplant.
Well, you know what's going to happen. See, here's the point. Africa is going to rule again. The problem is what's going to happen with blacks in America? That's the question. That's the scenario. China and then India, then the curtain is going to come on you know, the African continent. Nigeria is going to have a population of over 700 million people. In 2100, there will be no white nations in the top 20 population centers in the world. None. India. China is going to fall to second because you're going to have a large segment of its population that's going to move into the middle class. When people move into those middle class, they stop having babies. Then it's going to be Nigeria. Practically every African country is going to be up around 100 million. Ghana is supposed to be around 80 million. Ethiopia, 120 million. So there's no stopping an idea whose time has come.
But, Bubba, if Africa becomes the richest place on Earth, right, maybe the lifestyle might be a bit better. But a lot of those Africans are going to be dead by then. And the European and the Chinese, let me tell you the reason why they're going to export over to Africa. Because when Britain used to make their own shit and America used to make their own shit, the people were demanding more money. So they thought, fuck this, let me ship all the export, the rich billionaire devils. They said, let me ship all the export and make the Chinese build it because they're under control. Their government's got them under manners. Now, in China, they have 400 revolts or protests every year about wages. Even a few months ago, the Apple Macintosh plant in China, they walked out because they want more money. So, yes, the Chinese and all these countries will put everything will be going to Africa, and they're going to make the Africans do it. But will they get good money?
Yeah, but see, these corporations, these manufacturers are manufacturing in China, and they're taking more profits because they're paying the people depressed wages.
Exactly.
Right. So when people start wanting more, that's exactly what they're going to do, like what you just got you talking about. They're going to start doing the same thing we used to see American workers do, protest in the form of strikes and pickets.
Exactly.
I want to go ahead and see that more made in China.
If it's in the line of the capitalistic way, right, then what's going to happen, right, if people's mindset stays the same, how it is today, what's going to happen? Africa, they're going to have their 100 years of power and you know, well, of the most exports. The Africans are going to be living good. Then they're going to want more money. Then it's going to go back to Europe and America because they're going to be the ones living in the shit. And then it's going to go back to the Chinese again, you know, and then it's going to go round and round and round and round unless something's done.
Well, I don't think it's going to go around like that.
When Henry Clark said, we've got to deal with the mindset. That's why we can't do nothing together. That's why you don't like certain blacks, because they've got all these psychological disorders. Not even accounting. I'm saying the most biggest disease that we've got, a mental illness that we've got, condition that we've got as black people, is the Willie Lynch syndrome and the Stockholm syndrome.
Well, it ain't nothing wrong with this. I don't say that. And this is the point. Poor people can't tell other poor people nothing. Poor people ain't gonna listen to somebody poor.
And that's Willie Lynch.
Well, you can call it what you want to call it. I say poor folks are not gonna listen to somebody that's poor. How you going to listen to somebody? How's somebody who only made $40,000 a year going to tell you about being a multimillionaire?
Well, that's going to be the problem then, brother. What people are going to be, if people keep on listening to Jay-Z, right, we're going to always be in the shit that we're in. If we keep on listening to guys like P. Diddy, these guys would rather work with a white woman that makes
them money than a black person that makes them money. You see what I'm saying? They go wherever the entertainment industry wants them to go.
Well, that's something you're not going to change by begging. People's not going to beg. You're not going to beg people to change their way. You can't tell Lil Wayne that he's not supposed to do what he's do when you don't have anything other for him to do.
No, I can tell him because he's perpetrating a fraud. And he's talking about guns and violence. You see, he would never want it. Because he's such a greedy ass, he wouldn't want to talk something constructive. Talk about why the blacks killing each other in Chicago and try and help them with his money. He ain't going to do that.
Well, no, because when nobody buys.
He's a selfish man.
Because
he ain't
going to
make no money then.
That's right. Who's going to buy it? Nobody's going to buy it. You're supposed to be in business to make money. Is it peculiar why come blacks have 1.9 million businesses and they hire less than a million people? Huh? Is it peculiar that 87% of black businesses gross less than $50,000? So if they got that same mentality, if they got that mentality that Lil Wayne's supposed to talk about the shootings in Chicago and try to make people stop it rather than what he's doing to make money, that's why their business failed. He's trying to run a successful business.
He's got enough money. You don't need. Listen, brother. If you had $1 million, right? What more do you need?
You want some more.
All right. If you have ten million dollars, what more do you need?
And you still want some more? And then you want Congress to do away with death taxes. So when are you going to leave your children that you don't want to have to give 60% back to the federal government and another big chunk back to the state? That's why come you want to vote for conservatives, for Republicans. Mr. Anderson, that's why come I'm a conservative.
Hey, guys, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to have to close it out right here, man. You know, it's been a great discussion with you guys, man. I've had a rough weekend thus far. And I'm waiting for you, Pianchi, to come on down to my cafe, man.
Well, if you got big old ribs like you showing your pictures up in there, I don't know if I'm coming.
What do you mean? When you come on over to the spot, man, I'm going to give you that lecture on pork, and I think I'll change your mind. It's that one short.
No, you ain't going to change my mind on that, brother.
I think I will. Yeah. But I got
you have all over your counters.
Hey, brother, just pushing that pork, kilo.
That's one thing you ain't got to worry about Pianchi ever doing, eating beef and pork.
Oh.
And American chicken.
American chicken.
Okay. Hey, it's been nice, guys. I'll catch you next time. I'll be on again Tuesday night. So, same time.
I'll take you guys later.
I'll see you later, Pianchi. I'll see you later, Chef.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, man. You don't know. Ross Ruben, Mystic. Ross Zachary. Oh, Naya.
I tell you no. What is the Ruben?
Holding up strong. Yeah.
Hey, I tell you no. Rastafari.
You have become a big liar.
Yeah.
Show most tiny, most meditation. Hope your medication, good inspiration.